Oh, hello, hello, hello.
Hi.
What's up? What's up? All right, yo, what's up, everybody? It's your boy Justin Ramos here with a brand new episode of Justin Care from Brooklyn, East New York. What's up? We got a very, 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 very special guest. Very special guest. The queen of the afternoon drive on 108 Soul. We got what? Oh my God. What's her name? What? Oh my God. It's freaking Utopia. What's up?
All right, East New York. I'm good. Yo, y'all put the most out there. Oh my gosh. What?
What you mean? Since the 80s or you talking about now? We've always.
Never y'all became a thing, all right? Y'all been doing the most. You know, us Clinton Hillians over here, you know, we real chill, we real vibe. But anytime you guys are anywhere, it's always like 10 times a lituation or something like that. It's just crazy. So, hello, Justin.
Oh, hey, how you doing, man? How you been? What's going on? Hello.
Good. I'm good.
So, how have you been holding up in all of this pandemicness?
I just realized, I mean, because I basically stopped watching the news for a little bit, that it's been a year. So, I guess I'm still here and I am okay. I feel like that's the best word to use, is okay.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, I did the same thing. I stopped watching the news, like, once it got warm, I was like, oh, I could go outside again. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Last year, yeah.
I mean, see, I stopped watching the news after the election. I'm going to say when, because I felt like it was Groundhog's Day since November with the whole Biden winning and whatever like that. But I stopped watching like around the inauguration and I was just like, yo, I just need a break. I don't feel like anything worse can happen in the Capitol riot. Right. So let me, you know, take a break and just like get, you know, this new life going. But yeah, it's been a year.
Yeah, no, it's just weird. Like, you know what else is crazy? Do you realize what year we're in, right?
2021, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And 20 years ago was what?
Oh, wow. So we're going to be coming up on 9/11 this year, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Damn.
That's crazy. That see, like, the pandemic is one thing, but then when you realize...
Yeah.
That 20 years ago, yeah. The buildings... Yeah. So it's like, yeah. Wait, what?
Yeah, I haven't even... I guess because I'm like... That's like... Well, it's less than 6 months away now, but yeah, I didn't even think about that. Oh man.
That's insane, right? Like I was 15 when that happened.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah. Wow. You know, it's crazy. We were just talking about that. And we're talking about how like when 9/11 happened, that's when me and like my girls, we were like sneaking into clubs and, you know, going to clubs and stuff like that. And the city actually only shut down for maybe like, I want to say it was less than 2 weeks. Like you couldn't really go anywhere or do anything.
And we that's true.
And that, you know, we still by day like 4, we wanted to be out in the streets. We didn't care if there was like debris and, you know, dust and just like,
yeah.
Just crap everywhere. We just wanted to be in Cheetah or Speed or something like that. Like,
did you just say Club Speed?
Yes, I did.
I used to go there.
Yeah, I mean, of course you used to go there. You're from East New York, of course.
Oh,
guys,
bang!
Of course, it was either Speed or the Tunnel. If you were feeling fancy, you guys went to Exit, Carbon, whatever you want to call it. So yeah, I know all about
oh
you.
Oh my God, yo, Club Speed was my first experience with like people selling E, like, you know.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Mine was the Tunnel.
See?
Yeah, mine was a tunnel. It was E. I saw somebody do like, I've never seen anybody like do, I'm trying to find the right word, cocaine.
Like, yeah. what does Travis call it? That booger sugar.
I had to think because there's so many like, you know, terms in it, but I'd never seen anyone do cocaine like live in the flesh until I was, because I only had seen it on TV or in movies up until that point. And I was like, wow, people are still like really out here doing coke. That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yep. My homeboy was older than us. We had a, because when I was going there, we used to go on the teen nights, right? So every holiday was for us. So the holiday weekends was for the teens. So we would go on those nights. And one of my friends was older than us. He was like, he had just graduated from high school. So he used to be like, yo, if the bottle of water is $3, these motherfuckers is selling X and cocaine in this bitch. And I'm like, what? So I went to go get a Poland Spring, and the lady was like, $3, please. I was like, wow. He's like, I told you, my nigga, I told you. They be out here popping them pills and shit, yo. They don't smoke weed. They be popping pills.
Yeah, that's so true, because I feel like that was the time when, like, the no smoking in restaurants and clubs and, like, every indoor smoking was finally canceled in New York. So you couldn't, like, you really couldn't get high. And police, that's all they were doing. They were just going to clubs to arrest people for, like, smoking, like, Newports, you know, Black and Miles or, like, blunts or whatever like that.
Yes.
Most of us were young, so we couldn't, you know, keep getting fined for that dumb shit. So that's when, you know, the whole ecstasy, because, you know, people of color, like, we don't really do that kind of stuff. But that started popping up in those clubs, definitely when the no smoking, indoor smoking ban went into effect in New York. So I remember that for real.
Back in the days.
Yeah, back in the day.
So you went to John Dewey.
Yes, I did. I did go to Dewey. Shout out to all the Dewey heads. Hey, LLM.
Like, I mean, my mom went to John Dewey.
Your mom?
Spike. Went to Dewey? Oh, yes. Wow. She was in the year with Spike Lee.
Oh, that's fire. That's dope.
You went. Yeah. I don't know what year you were in, if, because I know Angie Martinez went there.
Yeah, Angie actually graduated the year before I got there. So, and I didn't even know Angie went to Dewey until I started dating a dude who graduated with her. And he was like, yeah, you know, because me and Angie Martinez, I was like, Angie Martinez? And, you know, you're just thinking, he keeps talking and talking, and he's talking about going to the radio station. I was like, what the what? Why didn't we know that Angie Martinez? Well, why didn't I? I would have rather, like, to me, that was more exciting. Like, Spike was cool, so now I can appreciate it, and he did speak at our graduation, but at that time, like, I would have, like, hearing that Angie went to our school, knowing the path that I eventually put, that would have been, like,
education
for us.
Yeah.
You know? But then...
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm a Dewey head, a Dewey alumni.
Yeah, and then you... Oh, man, this guy, man. Oh, my God. I can't stand this dude. You also went to high school with some guy. Oh man, what's it? Kevin Mason? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. We have to call Avery Mason, the actor. It's his professional name, as I've been instructed to say from now on.
Oh wow, I didn't.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah. He's.
I mean, you know what?
I respect it. You know, I know who the real guy is. We went to WrestleMania together. It's okay.
Yeah, he could pull off Avery Mason, though. Like,
yeah, that's his name. That's his stage name. It's okay.
Yeah, I like that for him. Yeah. I mean, you know, he knows me as Eunice. Like, he's always.
So do I.
You know, for me. So.
Yeah, that's how you and I were introduced.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, because he kept calling me Eunice on the podcast. And I'm like, bro, it's Utopia. Like, nobody knows right now, right? They know you. But that's.
And then, my bad. Yeah. You know how you got that soft voice. My bad.
That is definitely my boy. So, yes, that's how we actually, became friends, is through Kev. So, through Avery. My bad. I got to get...
Yes. Yeah. At the wonderful Cumulus Media.
Yeah. Big shout out to Cumulus. I'm not sure if they're still... I mean, they're smart. They're still not occupying two or three or four Penn Plaza, wherever we worked at for all that. Because that would be a waste of money for them right now. But yeah, we definitely met thanks to the great folks at Cumulus.
Yep, Pop Culture Vultures Podcast.
Yes, yes.
I forgot the name of the damn stage we had in there. What was the name of the studio?
It was a very, 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 very long stage. Loco would always do the name of the stage because, yeah, I just was like, nah, I'm good. Like this
something Meridian.
Yeah.
Oh, it's my gosh. It was a hospital.
The hospital. The Meridian.
Name.
Northwell.
Huh?
Twerk it, drop it like it's hot. Hospital, like, is one of them. Like, that.
Yeah.
The very.
Yep. Sponsored by Starbucks. We're kidding, ladies and gentlemen. We don't remember the name because it was just too long to remember.
It was very.
But yes, I spent a lot of time in there.
Yes,
in
you that. Did. Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were one of the. You were actually one of the last group of people who were able to intern and also get hired there. So even though I know like it could have been a better experience for you and experience altogether. But you were definitely one of the last people to be in that realm. So, I mean, it's...
The experience was great, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
We know the bullshit of radio, but the experience was great, yeah. Honestly.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I hear that comment all the time. Like, you know, the bullshit of radio and the entertainment business. Honestly, it's a business like any other.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? If you know, it is a business. It's not this magical type, you know, unicorn of like, it's a business. You will get your feelings hurt. Things will not go your way sometimes. And you might literally be laying on your couch one day getting a whole bunch of texts from people saying, yo, I'm so sorry, that sucks, like blah, 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 blah. And you're like, what? And then you realize that your company has sold your reputation for no apparent reason. So
yep.
It's, you know, it's life. It's
yeah, that was crazy. Where were you that day?
I just told you where I was. I was laying.
You was home.
Couch. Yeah, because I was taking a mental health day because I had been working on PLJ. For those of you who are new to Utopia, I used to work for Cumulus alongside Justin and Loka, and I worked at PLJ, which was literally the station right down a small hall from where Loco worked. So the top 40 station, top 40 adult contemporary, which means that is one of those stations that you could literally put on in an elevator or in a doctor's office and it can be listened to all day. So technically it's kind of like a Light FM where it's always been around and you would think that it would always be around.
Because it was what? Legendary.
Exactly.
In New York.
It's a heritage station, aka legendary, one of the first. Like, Wendy Williams worked there for like a little bit. For a while. She worked there. Not even a while, just for a little bit. She slid through during her career. So the station is like, you know, it's a pretty big deal in a lot of communities, especially out in
absolutely
Staten Island. So it was one of those stations. And that's actually one of the reasons why I took the job there, because I didn't grow up listening to top 40 radio stations. I listened to urban radio stations. So
yeah,
my career took me the top 40 route, which was, you know, super dope. But one of the reasons why I took the job there is like, yo, I could literally be here for the rest of my career.
Yes.
And, you know, I should be good. And then I was told by the higher, you know, a couple of higher ups a few times, like, yo, I don't know what you would have to do, Utopia, in order to get fired. But whatever you could think of, like, that would get you fired. So I was good. I'm going to take this mental health day. You know what? I'm going to stretch this shit into a week. So, because I had worked a lot up until that day. Like, I think I was on, like, 20 days in a row. Like, it was crazy.
I remember I would come sit in the studio with
yeah
you.
Always there at some point, but not complaining. And I think I was also doing I was also doing television at the time, so it was a lot. Like, so I took
that. Yeah, because you were acting, right?
Right, yeah. I was doing I was on Blue Bloods for like a year.
Blue Bloods,
yeah.
Yep.
So I was like, all right, I have this time off. Let me take this day. Like I said, stretch it into a week and lay on a couch and do absolutely nothing. And I want to say I binge watched like Love and Hip Hop. like I was really like doing the most. Like had the Girl Scout cookies. Like was having a good day. I'm going to take a nap. I lay down and then my phone just starts like blowing up. Text.
Emails.
Yeah. Like, no, I didn't get an email.
No. You didn't get the email?
No, yo. I did not. We did not get an email. They had told the radio blogs before we were even told.
Because are you serious?
Finally, when I was looking at my text, I was like, what is everybody? Because everyone was so vague about it. I'm just like, did I die and not know? Like, what is happening? And I'm looking up.
Right.
Why is everybody acting like somebody died or some shit like that? And then something told me to check my work email. So then I checked my work email. And that's when it was explained to us that after we, a few months prior, was told that the station, you remember that Christmas party? That
the bullshit. Yeah, go ahead. Tell the story.
Everything was good. But yet a week later, they started firing people. But still in my mind, I was like, all right, this is not going to affect us in any kind of way, especially PLJ. Like, if any of these other, like, we should be the one that should be here. Somebody will buy PLJ, if anything, whatever. So, yeah, so I checked the email, and then we were told that PLJ was sold and Nash. And I was like, they sold PLJ and Nash, and they're keeping ABC and 103.9. I was just like, what the fuck is going on?
Right.
So right. Then I look at the blogs, and I look at the timing of the posts of the blogs that I usually check. I didn't even go on the other blogs, but the blogs I usually check, and I was like, these idiots told the blogs before they even told us.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Yes.
So yes. Yeah, that was, and then we had to wait until like the FCC officially made the sale like go through because PLJ was sold to a Christian radio company network or whatever.
Yes, it was.
And Cumulus. Yep. And Nash was picked up by I'm gonna call them CBS, but they're not CBS. I can't remember the name of the radio company now that they are, but that's where Nash is. So Nash is still on air, but yeah, like PLJ is no longer PLJ. It's like I said, it's a Christian, but it was just like, so you guys sold us. You're keeping these other two stations, and everybody at the other two stations fell for the fuckery and was like, yeah, we're good, you know, blah, 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 this, that, and that. And in my heart, I was just like, yeah, if they sold us, how are they going to be able to afford to stay in the Penn Plaza? Like, how is this going to work? Like,
right, right.
Forever. So months went by, we're still working, like I'm still working like crazy because everyone's cashing in on their vacation days, which is great for me, but I you know, get paid and whatever. And just let me know when I'm, because I'm gonna go all the way to the end, to my last.
No, listen. Okay. I could really quickly, before you finish all that, I could say this. I was there, right? Because I got asked to come in. Because we got a new marketing director, which was my boss, right? The guy who was in charge of promotions, which is the department I was in, right? Asked me to come in. I came in, right? I had a day off from school and my second job. I come in because Trey set it up. I came in. We meet the guy. I know his whole background story because, you know, we all talk in the damn office.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I already don't like you, sir. I know your whole, I know why you're here, white man. Whatever, right? So we sit down. He's like, we need to talk about your schedule. And I said, what about it? And he was like, well, your availability isn't open. I said, I know, because my hours here are not guaranteed. I have another job, another part-time job with guaranteed hours, guaranteed days. So if you can guarantee me what events I'm going to be working, then my schedule would change. He goes, well, I can't guarantee that. I said, well, then I can't leave my other job. Right? And he's like, well, but we want you here. Okay, well, if you guys want me to work, I need bookings. The same way, and I started naming people. I was like, the same way this person gets all these Nash events and the PLJ events and WABC and the 103.9. I was like, and with all due respect, the only person that should be doing 103.9 events should be me. No one on Nash Street team knew anything about 103.9. No one on the promotions, and listen, I don't care who hears this. No one even knew that Utopia was on the weekends on PLJ. Okay? Yeah. So we had people working at the station that only cared about Nash, and that was it. And that's cool. But if you are on the promotions team, you need to know who is on every station, every time slot. You need to know what the each station is. That's your job. Yeah,
but that's the thing. It's like, that's not the way a lot of people think nowadays.
Like, no, they was out for, a lot of people there were out for self. Yeah. And right. So after I had, he was like, listen, we cool. You still got a job here. All right, cool. Say no more. I went, I sat down with my boss, my other boss, Trey. And I said, yo, what's up with the schedule, bro? Like, are you making it or are these children making it? And he looked at me like I was crazy. And I was like, I want to be here, but I'm not here ever. The last event I did, I did an event with, shout out to DJ Sandra D. That is my homie for life. Sandra is the greatest. Okay. Shout out to you, Sandra. That was the last event I did. It was in December with Sandra. I think it was a country concert for, I forget who, right? So we talk, boom, I leave. I go talk to Loka because I know what time she's done for the day. Catch her before she leaves. She said, you need to talk to Ken. I go talk to Ken. Yo, Ken, is there anything? I did exactly what she told me to do. He's like, you need to ask him, is there anything else you can do in this station? So I did. He said, Justin, I love you. I like you. I like how you move. I see how you are with Loka. It's great. I have nothing for you. Yeah. But you keep in contact with me in the future and we'll talk. So Ken, I will be calling you because I know where you at, my brother. right? So I go to the office side. I go chop it up with my coworkers and I leave. I get on the train. Literally, I'm on the A train. I get off at 14th Street, transfer for the L, and I get a fucking email from our job. And I'm like, what the fuck is... I just left. We just did a toast. Yo, to Cumulus Media, we gonna be all right. And I'm like, what happened? And I remember getting so mad, and I'm just like, yo. And look, I was like, don't worry about it. Fuck that. Your ID work? You better come to this office.
Yeah.
And I came to everything that she asked me to come to. I surprised her on her birthday. And shout out to Jamie. Jamie was like, what you doing in here, nigga? Your ID work? Yes, it does. No one ever took my ID till this day. I still have it.
You know what? I still have mine, too. I just realized that. I don't know where I was going through my... it like that, and I washed it, and I was like, oh wow, this thing,
right? Yeah. So okay, and then like, you know, Infinity War, right? Thanos came in there and just did the and everybody started disappearing. I'm like, yo, what? A whole side of the office was gone, fired, laid off. I'm like, wow.
That was crazy, because even up until like our very last day broadcasting, that's what it was like. Everyone was like, there was a big sweep at one point, and then it just started happening slowly, where a lot of people started going, this company is right on the tip of my tongue, who, I can't remember the name of them, but the company that brought Nash, a lot of people went there.
So, is that Intercom?
Yes, Intercom.
Yeah, CBS, Intercom.
Yeah, Intercom board. So they're CBS radio. So yeah, so a lot of people went there. So like a slow trickle. But you know, the crazy thing is, and I can say this, and this is honestly probably the last thing that I can say, because you know, you sign paperwork or whatever like that.
Of course, I can honestly
say that even the people who were, I'm assuming, like VPs and higher ups who worked in that office with us did not know what was going to happen. Because I had a chance to talk to like a lot of them, and they were just so apologetic and so just, and I'm just like, yo, if you had nothing to do with this, like, I'm not mad at you. Like, honestly, like, I don't even know who to be mad at. I'm just like, there was a part of me that was in denial for a little bit because we were still working, because this was the third time within 5 years that something exactly like this had happened to me. So at this point, this was the longest drawn out version of it, which I was like, you know, it actually helped me because it wasn't like ripping off a Band-Aid. The fact that it took from, I think this all happened in February and we were there until May or something, or this happened in the end of January. It was months before we were done. And at that point, they were actually saying that we could have possibly went to the end of 2019. So like, we just didn't know like what was going on. And but it actually, I guess I kind of took it better than everybody else because of the fact that a lot of people who were working at least at PLJ, they had for decades.
You're right.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, and a lot of them were just like, what am I going to do now? And, you know, what's going to happen now? And my situation wasn't as, you know, it all sucked for everybody, but I don't like to, you know, compare people's experiences and pain. But I can honestly say that the way I handled it was a lot better than everybody else because people who were way older than me, veterans, were coming to me and asking me how I was coping because I was damn near a full-time on-air talent there without a contract. So
I know. I know. I used to tell Kevin, I was like, yo, bro, trust me, she's good. Like,
because everybody's wooing me, and I'm just like, yo, y'all fail to realize that, A, this is the third time that something like this has happened to me. B, I know what's going to come my way. It's just about me just trying to, just waiting to get the paperwork and talk to people and find out what's going on. And C, like, I think that, like, the fact that this is happening and, like I said, the time for me, it helped so much because I used that time to deal with to go through the five stages of grief. Like, but before, the first time that this happened to me, took me damn near up until I got that job at PLJ to get over the shit. And the first time it happened to me was in 2014, Memorial Day weekend 2014. I didn't start working at PLJ until my birthday weekend of 2015. That was like in August of 2015. So from, you could say June 1st to August like 20th, like it took me that long to get over what happened to me, and I was still dealing with that shit when I got PLJ.
Right.
So the fact that, like I said, that, and then at that point it happened to me twice within a year, because the station that I went to after that one in Philly, the same shit happened, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like what is going on? So I honestly thought that I was done with radio, and this time too, I was like, yo, God, I hear you, like. You don't need to drop no boulders on me. This is the third time this shit happened to me in less than 5 years. I think that it's time for me to exit from radio. So essentially, that's what I did. And I was just like, all right, you know, I'm just going to focus on this acting thing and see what happens with that. And then Corona happened. And I was just like, wow.
Another whammy. Boom! This just came out of nowhere.
And this was a thing where I was like, all right, well, we're only going to be in for 2 weeks. I already had stuff lined up. And I was just like, all right, cool, I'm going to be good. And then the 2 weeks turned to another two. And then, you know, and I was just like, crazy. And I'm never going to forget when I got the call to start working again. I was just like, are y'all sure? Because, like, COVID is still a fucking thing. And what is life going to be like on set?
Right.
Crazy. So the first show that I did, the first show that I did, it was new for everybody, so they were still getting it together, and it was just like, you know, people were not taking it well because we were essentially in a mask and mask for like 12 hours, and none of us were essential workers, so we didn't know about that life. So
when you guys started, and you talk about
108 Soul,
all right, when you guys started 108 Soul, were you always doing it at home, or were you guys in the studio?
No. So, I got the phone. I got a text and then a phone call. Wow, it's been exactly a year. I got it a year ago. So we went into lockdown. Well, I know that I started sheltering in place the 14th of March 2020. So 15th. Right. I got a text asking me, you know, if I would be willing to, you know, be a part of 108 Soul, and that it was going to be from home because that's what everyone's doing right now. 95% of radio stations are most of their on air. 95% of all on air talent in New York City are working from home right now. There are who are in the studio. God bless them. And but 95% of us are doing our shifts from home. Well, that was the greatest part about it, was that we weren't launching until May, And I had from March to May to learn the system and to figure out what I was going to do and just like kind of reacclimate myself to being an on-air talent, because I had put Topia wig for a while. Like,
right.
You know, I'm good. Like, I don't need this. I'm just, you know, going to be Eunice Faye Franklin. So, like, that's what we're going to do. So I was grateful that I had until March till May to, you know, get it together. And since then, we've been in, everyone's been broadcasting from their place, wherever they're at, you know, at some point. So, yeah.
Absolutely. I know. I'll be
listening.
Yeah.
So it's super dope. It's nice, but I'm not going to lie. Like, you know, there are days where I'm just like, wow, you know, sometimes one of the things that I really love about being in a studio is that you're in the studio, and most of the stations that I worked at were like really big stations. They were the biggest stations owned by the company at the time. So we were kind of like the, you know, wow, I'm really the show ponies. I was having a lust for words. So we were the show ponies. We always had like the biggest window where people could look in while we're in the studio working, and you could have an audience. Or people just bust in the studio who work, you know, work for the company and sit in and kick it with you and hang out. And you had some kind of an audience, you know,
of course,
which is like super dope. And I'm for sure like, you know, doing, you know, being a comedian, being on that stage, there's nothing like it. You know what I mean? Like,
listen, like, okay.
You know, so, yeah. So it's thing with the studio, like, it's nothing like me. Like right now, my DJ's on. So, but like, I'm used to literally being in a studio with my DJ and, you know, us like together, right, and, you know, and stuff like that. But he is like super far away right now. And, but we still talk. Like, I was just texting him before, you know, we started to do this. So, you know, we're trying to figure out ways to make it as live as possible. And that's why, you know, a lot of so they've been doing radio for at least like two, you know, like almost two decades or more. So
correct,
we kind of know how to, you know, like fudge, you know what I mean? But it does get a little hard sometimes. Like I can't imagine, like, I know that you're doing virtual shows now. Like, I don't know, like.
No, I'm not.
In a spot. You're like, that's what you're doing?
My last two shows were both
indoors.
Yep. I've only done one virtual comedy show. It was a birthday roast for my homegirl. And that's the only one I've ever done.
So I'm just saying, like, I don't know. I can't imagine, like, you know, being on a stage and hearing the laughs and that energy and, you know, to nothing. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, it's crazy. So, yeah,
it's weird.
It is. It's weird, but it's safe right now. And I'm glad that things are slowly opening up and people are doing it the right way, which is great. So, yeah. But,
Baby steps. So, did you start radio in college at Hunter?
Yes, I did start radio in Hunter. Yes, I did. Off of a dare. Like,
somebody dared you?
I had a best friend at the time, but shout out to Dalton, aka DJ Cuts. He was my best friend, and we went to Dewey together. So this was sophomore year. So we had kicked it all freshman year and all freshman year summer, and then all of a sudden sophomore year comes around, and I'm making plans for us and shit, and he's like, yeah, nah, you know, I gotta be at the radio station at, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, what? Why? Like, what radio station? And he's like, WHCS. And I'm just like, what? He's like, we're on the dial. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, 500 AM. I was like, what? He's like, yeah, like, you know, whatever. So I was just, and this sucks. He's like, well, if you want to spend time with me and you want to hang out, then come down here. I mean, we got, you know, we got music and we got snacks. I was like, music and snacks? Sold. So we get down. It's a whole bunch of dudes. It was like the United did the Benetton. It was like a Benetton ad of every kind of guy that I could think of. Place, and I was just like, wow, this is crazy. And, you know, he's introducing me or whatever, whatever. And I can't remember how the conversation went, but it went to, yeah, we dare you to just get on the mic. Because I was just saying, like, this is bullshit. This is dumb. Like, I don't understand why I'm working for big for y'all. He has to play his own music. Like, there's no playlist. Like, I don't understand. Blah, 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 blah. You know, it's easy. It shouldn't take him this long to be doing all of this. Like, whatever, whatever. And then that's when it came around. We dare you to get on the mic and do your own show and blah, 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 blah. This, that, and the third. And so, yeah, so it started with a dare. I got on a mic. I did it. And I was just like, after I did my first shift, it was horrible. But I was just like, yo, like, this is really euphoric. Like, I just like liquid swords for like 10 minutes straight. And nobody said, like, this is okay, I see. I was like, you know, Dalton cuts. Like, I see. I understand now. Like, I still don't think it's cool that you're not spending time with me. But I see. And, you know, this, you know. So, yeah. So, that day, they gave me my own show. The next day, literally, I became news director. And right. A few weeks later, I was just like, this shit sucks. I'm not, like, I don't want to do other people's work. Like, you know, this is the, you know, when you're 19 and your balls are big, that's the way you act. And, you know, you're very... And, you know, it was just, the job is horrible. I'm not getting paid for it. Like, what else can I do? It's like, well, we want you to, you know, you have your show, which is dope. I'm like, great. Well, you could be assistant music director. And I was just like, oh, really? And it was like, yeah. I was like, assistant, right? So basically, I'm not doing shit. They was just like, yeah, but we need to put a female in a pseudo kind of good, you know, I guess for whatever funding or whatever, they needed to put a female. And then I hit everything. I was female, I was black. I'm from, you know, like, I'm a really good student. Like, you know, like, it all checked all the boxes. Yeah. So, yeah. So I had assistant music director up until the year I graduated. And then I got my first paycheck. For being a radio on-air talent, and at that point I was music director. So yeah, it was dope. Wow. I got.
So how did you end up working for 105 K Jams in Tulsa?
Where are you right now that you're reading all this shit? Like, you're really reading my resume right now.
I'm good. I'm good at what I do. I learned from you guys. You know what I'm saying? I learned from La Loca and Utopia.
This didn't really click until you asked me this last question. I was like, where is he getting this information from? But I'm like,
come on, man. I learned from you guys. Come on.
I ended up in Tulsa, Oklahoma at 105 K Jams. Nothing happens by accident, but I really got that job by accident. Okay, so it's kind of a big deal that I got that job because it was middays in a top 100 market. And nowadays, that really doesn't matter. But back then, in the mid-2000s, that was a big deal because I had no radio experience technically except college radio. And I did an internship at KTU. And I was a producer for a whole bunch of shows for Clear Channel at that time. Resume. Yeah. This is the importance of resumes, kiddies, because you could literally become the vice president of a company and only have 2 months of working experience. This is why doing your resume the right way is important. Right. So I got that job because the guy who read my resume, he was so impressed with my resume that he thought that I did weekends on KTU.
Oh, wow.
But I literally did everything at KTU except be on air. And then I was on air once a day during the countdown with the guy that I was producing a show for. So I was his sidekick for like 90 seconds every day. That 90 seconds, and I used that to get me middays with the salary and benefits, moving expenses, and a whole bunch of shit. And they got me up there. Dang. And 9 months into my job, my boss at the time, I had multiple bosses, but my boss, my immediate boss at the time, we were talking and he was just like, yeah, you know, because I never really understood why you would move from New York, because he wasn't from Tulsa, he was from somewhere else. I mean, he's like, I never really understood why you moved from Tulsa, from New York to Tulsa, like, you were doing weekends at KTU. And I looked at him, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, do you think that if I was doing weekends at KTU, I would be in this van with you in the middle of bumfuck Tulsa? Like, no. No. He was like, what? I was like, no. I did everything except weekends at KTU. And he was like, no, your resume said that you was an on-air talent. I was like, no, my resume did not say I was an on-air talent. My resume said that I was a producer who produced for The Night Show, and I had a hosting segment on it. That's what my resume said. And he was just like, you know, I didn't want to I didn't want to hire your ass anyway. Like, you weren't on my top three. But my boss, he was like, Terry went to bat for you. Like, he was like, she's from New York. She has all this experience. She's going to be amazing. He really went to bat for you with the owner. And he was like, yo, at this point, like, everybody fucking loves you. But are you telling me that you had no radio experience and you got this job? I was just like, I mean, I guess to you.
Basically.
But I'm going to say yes, because in my heart, I feel like that's the right thing for me to do right now. But yeah, I'm going to say yes. So, that conversation, because honestly, I thought that they knew that I had no, like, because I was a wreck my first, like, my very first week, my first day, I was a wreck so bad that the operations manager had to come into the studio and rip out a picture in Essence Magazine, from Essence Magazine, and post it in front of my computer and was like, this is who you're talking to. Talk to these women. You know,
yeah,
and I was
like,
yeah, this is not helping. So I had to call my mom, and she was on the phone with me for 3.5 hours during my first shift. Yeah, she will never ever let me forget that.
Nope. They won't. That's what they
do. So that's how I ended up there. Like, that was, and then that company in Tulsa hired me to do middays in Oklahoma City while they were getting ready for the Thunder.
Oh, would that be Power 103.5?
Yes, it would be Power 103.5. Yes, it would be. That's, that year was, it was the wildest year ever, because I literally worked every day. Like, literally, they had me working, like, from the moment I got there to this day that I left. Like, I worked. Yeah, that was dope. So big shout outs to the Perrys. The Perry Publishing and Broadcasting is one of the oldest black owned broadcasting networks on the planet. I got to work for them, and I was in with them, which is amazing. So yeah. Yeah. Good times. Yeah.
Great. So how did you end up, like, back here?
I got homesick, like, really, really homesick. And the guy that I was dating then, he was flying back and forth like crazy. At one point, he was coming down like every month. And then all of a sudden, we couldn't do that anymore. And I was really homesick. My mom had came down, and she spent like 2 weeks with me. And I cried when she left. And then my parents were just like, well, why don't you just come back to, you know, Brooklyn for a weekend? Maybe you'll feel better. And I did. I came back, hung out with my people. I actually did an audition for Party FM while I was out here. And got to the airport, cried again. And I was just like, yeah, I can't do this. Like, my whole life is in New York. So I'm going to have to take the risk and come back home. And it was, you know, perfect timing, because there were some things going on in my family that required me to be here. So perfect timing. Yeah. And I just came back, and it was one of those, you know, I'm one of those people who subscribe to the thing, like, you don't quit a job without having another job lined up. But, you know,
absolutely. Those are jewels,
yeah,
ladies and gentlemen.
But
jewels.
That was the only time in my life that I did do that. Like, I actually quit working at the place in Oklahoma, and was just like, I'm just gonna come back to New York. And the crazy thing about that is, when I was out there in Oklahoma City, a part of my package was a townhouse. So, rent free.
Wow.
That's another reason why I was able to leave, because the fact that I didn't pay rent for a year, I was able to save up a shitload of money. So that helped me a lot to come back. And once I told my dad that I wanted to come back, my father literally in 48 hours got on a train, because dude doesn't fly, got on a train, packed up my whole apartment, drove me from Oklahoma City to Brooklyn all by himself. Yeah. So
yeah, I've done that back in 2007 from OKC to New York. Long ride.
No joke. And then you move somebody's whole apartment by yourself, and hey, don't think that I sat there and was like, just sat there and watched my dad do all of this. I was like, yo, dude, do you need me to help? And he's like, nah, take a seat, have a seat, just like sit down, you know, go and frolic in the sun, taking this Oklahoma hair because the air in Brooklyn sucks. So just like, you know, just like get out the way. So yeah, so I came back and I was just like, well, we're gonna see what happens. I did come back and I had a meeting at with Inner City Broadcasting at the time. So that was something to look forward to. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yo, like I'll scrub fucking toilets. Just like, just let me work here at some point. And they were like, no, you sound too young and you sound too white. So I was like, oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah. That's crazy. I'll never forget that. And I was just like, oh, okay. All right. I'm going to go cry in the corner right now. And it was, that whole experience was not cool. But yeah, so that was interesting.
Yeah. You've been a little bit of everywhere though. I've seen CBS. And
yeah.
The wonderful Cumulus Media for PAJ.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've been able to gig. You know, I've been extremely fortunate. Like I can't sit here and say that I haven't been. Even during this pandemic, like this job came to me. I don't know who I was talking to a few days ago, but I told them that technically I've only applied for that jobs that I've gotten, radio jobs in the past. I've been doing this since the end of 2005. Since the end of 2005, technically I've only applied for 2 radio jobs. And possibly at between 7 and 9 radio stations then. So all the other jobs that I've gotten from the people that I worked with previously.
Yeah, because we know it's a lot of times who you know.
And also, you never watching you. You know what I mean? Work-wise. And
yeah,
us Leos sometimes, you can get in our bags and we just don't fuck with nobody. I'm kind of I'm a person that has categories and I like to separate because when I'm at work, I like to go hard and then I like to go home and go to fuck to sleep. So I do my best not to like fraternize at work and, you know, socialize and network. And I know that's bad. Like, how dare I not network, especially in the that I am. But I'm not one of those people. Like, I'm very, very awkward. I'm socially awkward and I own it. You would never know because of the way I do my job, but I'm very socially awkward. And it's just like, if I'm not in broadcasting mode, it's really hard for me to like talk to people. Like, my friends, like, most of the time, I'm the quiet one out of everybody. So,
I got that. The couple times, like, yo, like whenever y'all were doing Pop Culture Vultures, you and Loka, and I was like, yo, why she don't talk? Like, what? And I kept asking. I was asking Kev. I was like, yo, is she okay? He's like, she's just quiet, man. I'm like, okay. And then I was like, all right, well, you know what? I'm gonna just like hit her up, and be like, yo, I'm come, watch you work if you don't mind. And then after that, you started talking.
Yeah, very quiet. I mean, and I'm still not like. That's just the way I am, and I don't feel like I need to wear a badge about it and like, you know what I mean? Like carry a fucking car. But that's just the way that I am, and it works for me. You know what I mean? So I but then I also know how that comes off. But I also do know something about me is that I'm very personable, even though I'm socially awkward. If you start talking to me, I will talk to you. But I'm not just gonna start talking to you. Like, I gotta tell you how me and Loka met. Loka's the kind of person who will start talking to you.
Yes, she will.
Never forget this day. Because it's very rare in at least I can say in this industry, because I've been in this industry the longest, where females get along because they always try to pit us against each other. Well, I was either doing my first filling shift, I think. I was so fucking nervous. I was doing middays. And I came in and doing a job, super nervous, you know, being typical Utopia, doing Utopia shit, staying quiet or whatever. And this chick comes, like, she literally She had on Tim's. She kicked the door open. And she was like, buenos dias, bitch. I'm like, yo, what the fuck? But then I got excited because I looked at her and I was like, oh, shit, she looks like me. Like, it's not. And I, because I didn't talk to anybody at 103.9. And I forgot that there was a whole bunch of people of color, literally a strip across from me.
Uh-huh.
And she came to, she was like, yo, I heard that there was a black chick working on PLJ and I just had to meet her. And I was just like, yo. Yo, so we started talking and we grabbed lunch and I was just like, yo, you know, like that is the kind of, that's who I'm not. So I have people like,
yeah.
I'm not that person. So like, I really see you every day for 6 months and not fucking say anything to you until you say something to me. I'm sure that that's the combination of being from Brooklyn and being a Leo and an only child. So it's a lot. Like it's a lot.
Yeah, I'm an only child.
Yeah,
but I'm opposite of you, though.
But you're an early Leo, right? You're July, the end of July, early August. Yeah,
yeah,
you
early
Leos are like,
I know you.
You from what's that movie when Ben Stiller was the lion and they were with the penguins or shit? You know this movie? Yeah, that
Madagascar.
That's what they say most Leos are, is that like, rah, you know, like, no, but like, that's you.
That's right.
I'm a different kind of Leo. So I'm the more of the middle of the pack. You know? So I'm still dope as fuck, though, but you know, like, I'm just different. So but like I was saying about networking and stuff, like, everybody moves differently and certain things work for certain people, but I was never really the one to network my way into a job. I've always, like, anytime my bosses wanted to see me, I sat down and talked to them, and I really talked to them. Like, I don't, you know, just go in there and talk about typical shit. I ask about family and friends and, you know, whatever I know, and if someone reaches out to me via email just to tell me that I'm doing a great job, you know, I thank them and, you know, let them know what kind of job they're doing. You know, like, it's just like the little things, especially if you don't network and you're not out there a lot. Like, it's the way that you show up at work. And I always also try to, even though there are days, because we are in radio, where I literally want to roll out of the bed and come in pajamas. And in my career, I'd have done that like 2 or 3 times. But I always look good. And I'm just like, if I'm not going to talk to you because I'm a visual person, as long as I'm cute, like, I feel like that helps as well. So, like, and then I'm good at what I do. So that's another thing, too. And I'm always available. I make myself available as well, too. So, you know, it's little things if you don't do the other things that really count and really help and stuff like that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I know that from... I mean, of course not when I first met you guys. Like, I just met you and Loka. But, like, when I reached out to you and Loka, and I was like, yo, listen, I'm in my last year at LaGuardia. Like, I need an internship. Like, you know, what should I do? And I reached out to you first. I remember reaching out to you first. And I was like, yo, she fucking responded. Oh, that's dope. Like, because Kev was like, yo, you need to talk to Eunice and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, I'll hit her up. All right, well, we'll see what happens. And you responded back so quick.
Also,
you was like, this is what friend. Huh?
Kev is,
of course.
You know, like I've known him since the first week of high school. So it's just like, well, and Kev is the kind of person, Kev is a huge dude. Like, he's so big, but he's the sweetest thing ever. My God,
he's a gentle giant.
Awesome. And he's been that way since the first day of high school. And I mean, it's just like, dude bought me a bag of candy. I mean, he bought a loaf of candy too, but I'm just saying, you know, like,
yeah, I know. Like, he was like, yo, we weren't, yep.
Yeah, I was in the store. You're doing us a favor by being, and you're bringing me gifts, and you're saying that you would have bought me a Game Boy if you could have found one. Like, come on. Like, it's just like, it's crazy. So, yeah, of course I would. And if you have my number, like, I've had the same number since I was 18. Like, if you have my number, you have it, and I'm going to talk to you. You know, the DM situation, yeah, maybe. But if you have my phone number, like, the 97 joint, like, you're good.
Yeah.
Like, you're, you know, going to reach back to you.
Yeah, because like, all right, so I had asked someone else, right? And they was like, you need to talk to, you know, I don't want to say the name, right? They was like, you need to talk to so-and-so. So I go, right? Because I know this person, right? In another world, my other world, comedy. So I go to the show. And I'm like, yo, listen, man, I'm trying to get in, you know, because I major in communications. You know, I've been doing radio outside of school for so many years, and like, you know, I've written on this show, I've hosted this show with this person, I used to be like the producer of it, and dude is looking at me like, okay, and so what you want me to do? I'm was told to talk to you, bro. Like, what's up? Like, how do I get in? Do I intern? What's up? I need a job. Like, oh, it's good. Like, and the person says to me, well, you know, I work here and they don't hire a lot of niggas. And I'm like, okay, I'm sure there's room for one. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so I kind of felt like the person was like not taking me serious, right? So, you know, and it was, oh, I see what I could do. When people say that to me, that means no, right? You just told me no. So I said, all right, cool. I'm gonna get in there on my motherfucking self, by my motherfucking self. And that's exactly what I did. I reached out to Kev. I said, yo, I want to get in radio. What do you think I should do? He said, you need to talk to Utopia. I'm going to give you her number. You need to talk to her. Shoot her a text, call her, whatever. You need to talk to her. I hit you up. The first thing you said was, I don't remember at this point, but you was like, yo, listen, they do internships here, blah, 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 blah. But who you really need to talk to is Loka. That's exactly what you said to me. You need to talk to Loka because she has an internship program, right? So I don't remember if you or her set up the meeting with
No, if Alana. I told you out to her, she's the one who set up the meeting. So like, yeah, she was the one
who
set it up.
So, right. And she gave me the scoop before I even got there. She was like, listen, if that motherfucker tells you no, you come down to the studio and you fucking talk to me, okay? I said, oh, okay, sure. So the shit is set up. I come down there, I'm dressed up, I have my resume, I'm there, give a great interview. And he's like, it's gonna be a no. I'm like, what? You didn't even get to know me, bro. Like, what are you? And he was like, yeah, I don't think I have anything for you. So I go down the hall, I tell her, she said, I told you. Well, guess what? You start on Wednesday. I'm like, what do you mean I start on Wednesday? Like, what? Starting what? She's like, you my new intern, bitch. And I'm like, okay. Whatever. Right? So fast forward to next Wednesday. It's my first day. I have no idea what I'm doing. She didn't tell me shit. I'm sitting in the studio with her, and I got there early. I was supposed to be there from 10 to 3. That was, you know, and all she told me was this. She was like, listen, you, Loka says, you are my intern. If you give me whatever days you're going to be here, I expect you to fucking be here. And I was like, okay. She said, I'm serious. I had a lot of interns in my time, and they tell me they're going to come, and they don't fucking show up. So if you give me the day you're going to be here, you better fucking be here. I said, okay, I can commit to Wednesday. For right now, that's all I can do. No problem. You better fucking be here. All right, cool. Look, whatever you say. I come Wednesday morning. She's already there, charged like a fucking raging maniac, hence the name La Loka. And I still don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if I'm doing the social media. I have no idea. I'm just there. I meet DJ Gully. There's a time frame where, you know, she's playing. She's got a break where she doesn't have to talk. You take me around the hallway. I'm meeting everybody, right? Boom, 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 boom. I see the person who told me no, okay? What are you doing here? this is my new intern, Justin. Oh, I think you guys know each other. Yeah, what's up, man? What up, baby? All right, cool. Boom. Right? So I think his name was, I forgot, the marketing director. And she's like, yeah, it's my intern, Justin. He goes, you need a job? And I'm like, yes, he'll take it. Well, did you just answer for me? And that's how it worked. I got hired my first day on my internship. And the rest is history. I start working, and then I'm helping her with her interviews, and I'm doing the social media with her, and she's showing me how to edit, and then I end up hosting, co-hosting with you on Pop Culture Vultures because she couldn't do it that particular day. And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Like, everything was moving quick. The very first event I did was with her. We went to this hospital in Newark and we did like a family day in Newark, and they had activities and they were doing fresh produce ideas and giving out fresh produce. It was a lot. And everything was just like, boom, I meet JD, I meet Danny Lay, and I officially met Shantae Moore, and I brought it up to her. I said, do you remember doing, in 2013, you did the Holla Holla radio show with Raheem Barry and Del Harrison, a very good friend of mine, comedy, right, comedian. And she goes, yeah, why? I said, because I was on that show. She was like, what did you do on that show? I was like, oh, I was in charge of the social media. And I actually helped book a lot of the acts that were on there to be interviewed. She was like, what? I remember that show. You tell Del I say hello. I said hello. And I'm like, this is crazy. It's a fucking crazy situation. And then you, I would freaking like text you and like, hey, I have an event and it's over at this time. I'm going to come back to the studio because I got to come back anyway. Like, can I sit in with you? And you're like, yeah, come through. I'm like, what, really? Yeah. And I'm sitting in the studio with you certain nights. Yeah, and I'll even come on days off and come watch you. And I think the first time I did it, you like, so you asked me something. You was like, well, what do you want to do? And I think I told you like what my plans were and stuff like that. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was.
And those were fun times.
The cool thing is that you got a chance to experience it. And, things are changing now, and the fact also like things have literally changed because of, you know, COVID. A lot of people aren't in studios anymore. Mm-hmm. And some people will never like get that experience to, you know, the experiences that you had. You know, which is really up. But right. There are radio stations that are, you know, are in studios right now and doing it. But you know, the majority of them, especially here in New York, are not. So, but yeah, not, I mean, your story is like super dope, which is great.
It's crazy. It's just like everything was just like boom, 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 and I'm just like, what the hell? Then it's like even like all of the plans that the three of us had, we had a plan, and it just like 2019 happened and everybody gets laid off and you're like, yo, what the fuck? Like, you and I and you and I was about to say you and I in Utopia. You, me and Loka,
yeah,
we're working on a new podcast, like. And we were coming, we were meeting on weekends when none of us were, well, you were the only one working on Saturday, but we would come meet you and brainstorm some topics and then record. I would never forget that day you guys did, like, oh my God, what'd y'all do? Like four episodes?
We did four episodes in one day.
Do you remember
day?
That?
Damn.
It was like three or four. Because the shows were short. They were the concept for this new show that we were working on.
Oh,
I think
wow.
The shows were like 30 minutes long. They were short. But I remember you guys doing like at least three. I don't know if it was four exactly, but you did three. And it was so funny because I was just like, yo, this is nuts. Like, we was going through it. It was crazy. But y'all did like a bunch. Because you guys did like a teaser show, then you did like an official episode one, and then episode two. So it was like three episodes, kind of.
No food involved? Like, that's crazy. That doesn't sound like me.
Yeah, listen.
Yeah.
I had food. I don't know about y'all. I went right.
And then I probably had, we all probably had something to do afterwards. And yeah, nah, yeah. Because I'm like, that doesn't sound like me now. But I was like, that's probably the reason why you were burnt the fuck out when, you know, PLJ was done. Like, you were burnt out.
Yeah, we were like, doing
I realized
a lot,
that. Man. Like, now, like, me hearing you say that, I'm just like, yeah, bro, you was burnt out. So
we were doing a lot. I mean, even me, like, I had a whole nother job. I was a full-time student in my last, you know, semester at LaGuardia. And then I had my own radio show that I later dropped as a podcast, which is the one you're on right now. Just a Kid from Brooklyn. Anyway, and I was doing so much. I had no days off. I was at the station three to four times a week, sometimes more, working another job as a freaking manager at ASICS 3 days a week. And I was in school like 3 or 4 days a week. It was nuts. And doing events for Cumulus whenever they booked me. Like, it was crazy. And doing comedy.
That is a lot. But I will say that the pandemic, I know a lot of people could say this, that it slowed them down in a way. And I am definitely thinking differently about the way I'm going to be working, you know, now up until, you know, I continue to work or whatever like that, how I'm going to work. I'm more focused on how I'm going to work than I've ever been before, because I've just, you know, before I was just saying yes to everything and taking on a lot. And I'll never forget the first 2 weeks, is I'm pretty sure 95% of us had COVID and we didn't know until fucking the symptoms were finally laid out. But I can tell you,
you're probably right.
I probably had coronavirus from fucking December all the way up until March 20 something, whatever that, I said the 14th is when I started. So by the 28th of March, I had no congestion, no stomach problems, like all of the symptoms that were out at that point, I had them all for months. But just taking those 2 weeks and not going anywhere and just literally resting, getting up, you know, occasionally taking a fucking shower, you know, just that, and, you know, just taking care of myself and getting rest, like, I got better and haven't, you know, thank God I haven't been sick since. So it just really just made me think differently about all the stuff that I was doing and why I was sick and why I was all the way burnt out. Like, yeah, I was burnt out.
Yeah. Yep. Yo, it, like, for me, last year was weird because it was like, I lost family last year. I lost a good friend in comedy. And it was a lot. But everybody, like my family recently, because I have a large family on my mother's side, the black side, you know what I'm saying? The cools, even though the Puerto Rican side, the black side too. They you know, some of my cousins won't admit it. Listen, Papa, you is a black, okay? But no, but one of my cousins said on a Zoom, because we've been doing family holidays on Zoom, because we can't all, we're not traveling out with each other, and no one's coming up here because it's freaking COVID. And they was like, how are you? You're so strong because you're still smiling, you're laughing, you're doing everything that, because I'm still here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know, you know, I would love for my brother to be here and my cousin's pops to be here and my good friend Kenny Ortega to still be here doing shows with me, but that's just not the plan that God had. I'm fine. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I have my good days and I have my bad days. But I tell you one thing, them zombies are coming next. So I'm getting my Iron Legend body now.
Okay.
No. I'm just saying, listen, if they making, okay, viruses in the lab, wherever the hell it came from, okay, we don't know for sure if it came from China. I don't know. I don't believe everything I see on the news.
You gotta watch South Park. They tell you
everything. You're so stupid.
I saw the
Did you see the special?
I know there was one about the vaccine.
I watched some of it.
That was the one I was watching. That shit laid me the fuck out. Oh gosh, it was so
hilarious,
crazy, and stupid. And also Borat. I don't know if you've seen the latest Borat.
Of course, I saw Borat. I didn't watch it as soon as it dropped. I was on it,
and everyone kept saying how I was like, "This movie can't be that good. It's fucking bad." And I watched it, and I was just like,
okay,
yo, this, and I was just like, I was just sitting there just like, this is crazy, but it's just so like, I mean, because Sasha, he's an incredible artist, and I think it wasn't the same week, I didn't watch, I watched the Trial of the Chicago 7 Yeah, that was good.
I gotta finish.
It's
that.
Long. I didn't realize how long the movie was until you just said that you have to finish it.
Yo, yeah, I have an issue. Like, I like to watch long, good movies when I'm like half asleep. And I always fall asleep. It could be 9:30 and I'll be half asleep. And I'm like,
my eyes will be bleeding just because I have to finish something. But yeah, but you know, I guess someday we'll find out what the truth of the matter is. And
we'll figure it out. But you know, I think the zombies and the aliens are coming next. So I'm trying
to
get prepared.
Well, do you, Bo? Do you? Do you? But.
What advice would you have for someone who wants to get into our lovely broadcasting
that
business?
That is a really good question, because I don't know what it is like right now for someone. Like, when I think about when I first started, it was as simple for me as because there was a gap between college and me getting my internship. I went to broadcasting school. So there was a gap. I was a banker for a few years, and I was horrible. Yeah, it was bad. Oh yeah, I was the worst banker ever.
You said my
boss,
horrible?
And this is another thing too. And I'm gonna get to the advice, but my boss told me, I told her that I was quitting to do an internship. She said to me, she was just like, "Thank God that you quit, because you were really horrible at your job." And I was just like, but your personality was so awesome that we are actually going to give you a raise before you leave. And she's like, "You didn't wonder why we put you in the front of the whole call center." I was the call center for the people, the tellers and customer service. I helped them. So she was like, she's like, "You didn't realize we put you in the front for the whole fucking company, and you literally took one phone call every 6 weeks." Because you were in the front, because everybody talked to you and you talked to everybody else. And she was just like, you know, like, you were really bad at your job, like really bad. But your personality was amazing. She was like, "You know what the crazy thing is?" She's like, "You would probably be a president of some sorts in this company within 5 years. She's like, "That's how amazing your personality was." Mind you, like I said, I didn't talk to anybody who didn't, you know, who didn't talk to me. So it was just like, things to get you a long way. But I would say, if you're trying to get into the broadcasting industry right now, you gotta figure out, there's so many different ways that you can, between digital radio, podcasting, social media, of course, doing lives and kind of making it like a radio show and doing all that other stuff. I can tell you from experience that most radio personalities, especially in the top 5 markets, they will literally die out of their on-air positions. So, not to knock you, if you have a dream of doing afternoon drives in New York, an afternoon drive in New York City, like, you don't have to wait for somebody to die to do it. I'm just letting you know that that is a huge possibility. So the best thing that you can do right now is definitely do the indie route. Like, figure it out. Do a podcast. It is very hard to do a radio show because of the licensing issue with music. You know, podcasting is definitely a way to go. Mm-hmm. If you know someone who knows someone who knows someone, just like, you know, Justin did, have them reach out to them and, you know, see if they need an intern or they need a social media. Like, for me, somebody like me, in the next few months, I'm going to need someone who's going to run my social media, because it's, so that, like, it's little things like that. Like,
I got an application.
So it's just right now, the best thing to do is podcasting, honestly, is the best thing to do. And if you are a DJ, keep, you know, getting on.
We lost you for a second.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah. If you're a DJ, continue to get on lives until they kick you off, and figure out how you could, you know, there's ways for you to do it now. I forget this website, the website that everyone's using now, the DJs, to DJ and, you know, do their things and have parties and shit like that. I hope I gave you enough advice. I feel like
I think that's great advice. I like to say to people, just do it.
Yeah.
If it's something you want to do, just fucking do it.
Yeah, there's nothing. I read this quote, and I know I'm about to like mess it up, but it basically glorified failing. Like, if you try to fail, at least you tried and you failed.
Yeah, you gotta fail. That's what you're gonna learn.
Yeah, you'll never have that what if. And like, you're right, you've learned so many lessons. Like, the biggest lesson I learned in radio happened the day that I ran into a program director, and he said to me that I was definitely one of the people, the very first station that I went through the whole, we're selling and we're switching formats. The reason why I wasn't kept had nothing to do with my work ethic. It had nothing to do with me personally. It had everything to do with the fact that I overslept for a meeting. And I missed the meeting completely. And I ran in there, and I literally, that's the one time, the very first time in my career that I literally rolled out of bed, and I might have had pajama pants on and some Uggs, and just like ran to the station and had a meeting with the new program director. And he said the only reason why he didn't keep me, he was like, he would have kept me if I like, even though I didn't miss the meeting, but he was like, you were such a fucking train wreck that day. He was like, that was the only reason why I didn't keep you. And he was like, trust me, it was one of my biggest regrets.
Wow.
So, you know, I'm not even sure why I told you that, but
it just happens here on this show.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know what the point of me telling you guys that was, but hopefully, it's about lessons and failures and mistakes and stuff like that.
There you go.
That was a conscious decision for me to roll out of bed and put on some pajama pants and, you know, just literally run to the station. So, yeah. So, you know, that's about failing and mistakes and learning from that. And then that day on, I learned. I was like, yeah, you're not showing up anywhere looking a hot mess, even, you know, ever. Like, ever. And that has been one of my, you know, one of my things ever since. You know, that's the one of the, you know, you just want to make sure you look the part, even if you're right. The part. So
I agree.
Yeah, but
definitely that. I definitely agree.
Thank you so much, Justin, for having me on your show.
Thank you. Thank you for coming on. Let the people know when you're going to be on 108 Soul.
Yes, the Soul of New York.
That's right.
I'm on Monday through Friday from 3 to 7. Actually, let me rewind that. I feel like I'm on Monday through Friday, 3 to 7. But I just realized I'm on Monday through Thursday, 3 to 7. And on Fridays, I'm on Monday. I mean, on Fridays, I'm on 3 to 5. And this Friday, if you're not busy, we're celebrating Women's History Month. And I'm going to be DJing for Club 108 Soul.
So
that's gonna be happening on Friday night from 8 to 10, and I'm only gonna give you your listeners this exclusive because not even my listeners are gonna know this until possibly on Monday. But I'm gonna be playing all female artists, and
yeah,
that's a big deal because you know, sometimes us as women, we don't get enough love, even in the clubs, even though we are the reason why the clubs are always popping.
Exactly.
So I'm going to be playing 2 hours of music, and it's going to be nothing but females. And trust me, my friend, you will not really, you know, realize it. So we're going to dance it out, and it's going to be a party, and I'm going to be in a set, and it's going to be super dope. So I'm really excited about that. So please join me for Club 108 Soul this Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. I will bring the party to you.
Make sure y'all download the app for 108 Soul NY. Okay, people?
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
Listen to it. It's a great station.
Thank you. And
I ain't saying it because my friends work there, but it's a dope-ass station.
Thank you. And you can also listen live on 108soul.com. So.
Yes, you can. And you are on social media where?
At UtopiaBK on the gram. I realize I'm probably going to have to change my Facebook name back to UtopiaBK at some point in my life. But yeah, just.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
We'll get there. Yeah. Thank you guys. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Utopia.
Thank you, Justin.
Thank you very much. Listen, guys, this has been another episode of Justin Kid from Brooklyn with your boy Justin Ramos from East New York.
Okay, calm down. All right.
Make sure you listen to the show because I mean it's everywhere, and you guys ain't never there, but you're here right now. Peace out. Thank you. Good night, good morning, and good morrow, bitches. Bye.